Today's message is about family reunion.
Oi.
Family reunion. Now, you might be wondering, how does that fit in? Because we're going to be talking about the birth of Jesus and all time, you know, the Christmas idea and what's behind it. But really, you know, this time of year, if you've noticed, it does become a time when family gets together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't this often when we start thinking about getting together with family and having dinner or getting together and just visiting them, catching up? And whether that family is our literal family, our blood family, our relatives, or maybe it's our friends that we have made our family. Or in our case, our spiritual family. People that have something in common, that are working with God, and we've become a family as a result of that. We are family, we come together, and it's wonderful that we get to come together this time of year and just visit and find out what's happening in your life and support one another and encourage one another to do greater things in life. And that's really what family should be there for, to encourage you to do the most that you can, do the best that you can do, and do more than maybe you thought you could do. And that's really what our spiritual family at Golden Heart is about, is encouraging you to do more than maybe you thought that you could do, because we are capable of doing great and amazing things. And we just have to have somebody there to tell us, because sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't know that we can do something really amazing. So today I'm talking about family reunion. And I want to start off talking a little bit more about the story of Jesus. And I talked a little bit about it last week. And for those of you that don't know it, I'll just kind of go through it quickly and cover a few of the main points. But we have this child that is born in a manger. So he's out there in the barn, basically, and they wrap him in swaddling clothes and they lay him in this manger, which is a place where cattle come and eat, or animals come and eat their food, usually hay. And so he's laying there wrapped in these swaddling clothes, and then they talk about shepherds being told they're out there in their fields. We're going to go into that a little bit more. And an angel tells these shepherds to come and see this event, and they come. And then, of course, wise men show up, and as I talked about last week, they didn't show up right away. You might have thought that, but actually they came a few years later. So he was already a small young child when they came, and they brought some gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, of course, he grew up to be Jesus and perform miracles and die and then raise again from the dead. And then all of us have a great life. End of story. So,
you're done.
In a nutshell, that was the story. I want to look a little closer, as I said, and see what was happening really with the shepherds. Last week we looked at the wise men. Let's look at the shepherds a little bit and see what's happening there in this story. Now, in Luke 2:8. Is where we find this, and it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." How many shepherds were there? See, it doesn't say how many shepherds there were. And it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard marveled at all those things which were told to them by the shepherds." Okay, so basically, if you caught that, what I was saying there, listen to this. So it doesn't say how many shepherds there were, does it? It does. So we don't know how many shepherds there were. Quite often, again, it does portray probably three of them showing up in the TV scenes and everything. But there could have been more than that. And it says they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then the angel appears to them. Now, what else is interesting here is they were living out in the fields. Did you catch that part? Living out in the field. These guys are not living at home. These guys are living out in the field. And this is what's interesting about why did the angel appear to shepherds? Why didn't he appear to butchers or bakers or candlestick makers? Why did he appear to shepherds? And shepherds were considered very lowly. They're living out in fields. They don't live in homes. They don't have great mansions. They don't have, you know, a great position like a baker. You know, here they are. They live out in the fields. But this is talking a little bit about the mission of what Jesus was going to do. Because one of the important things that we think about, and you have to know about herding sheep. How many of you know about herding sheep? Anybody? No hand. Nobody knows about herding. Come on, somebody here must be a sheep herder.
You are.
But one of the things about sheep is you cannot drive sheep like you can cattle. With cattle, you can get together, you can have a cattle drive. In the old days, for all of those of you who like the Westerns, and I'm looking around here seeing the way you're dressed, I think you all like Westerns. Yeah, I can tell that. So maybe you've watched a few Westerns, but you'll see on there quite often they're having the cattle drive, and everybody's on horses, and they're, you know, chasing those cattle, and they're driving them forward, and they'll take them from one state to another state, and they'll cross rivers and mountains and everything with these cattle. Sheep, you cannot drive sheep. You try to drive sheep, they scatter. They run in all directions. You have to herd them. You have to gather them. You are gently bringing them in from one side, from the other. You're trying to keep them together because if you try to force them in a direction, you try to drive them, they just run in all directions. And now you have to be busy going and find them and bring them back together. And so, keeping this in mind now, so this is the whole mentality behind a shepherd is he is gently nudging, he is gently guiding, gently leading his sheep so that they stay together in their flock, so they don't scatter. And Jesus quite often referred to himself as a shepherd. He talked himself about himself being the good shepherd. In John 10:11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my sheep, by my own. Okay? And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Here we just read about how the shepherds were the ones that got the message from God about this great event that took place. Glory to God in the highest, this is what the angel said, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And they went rushing out to see this. Whoa, good peace, I want to receive some of that. That would be great to have. And so now Jesus is talking, now that he's raised up and doing his ministry, he talks about being the good shepherd. He is talking about a family reunion. This whole thing with Jesus being born is about a family reunion, bringing the family back together, the family of God. Who's the family of God? Say, I am.
I am.
I am the family of God. We're all the family of God, and this is something that you have to start seeing yourself as the family of God, because at this time of year, we get together with our friends that are family, with our relatives that are family, and we get together with our spiritual family, and we celebrate the holidays. Right? But this is exactly what God wants us to do with him. He wants us to get together with him, with his spiritual family. He wants to bring us back together. And this is why the shepherds came first. Because Jesus' mission was to be the good shepherd. To bring, and just like sheep, he could not force you or drive you or push you or make you to go in a certain direction, to come to his Father, to come into the flock. He had to herd you, gently nudge you, encourage you. And as he says here in this, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my sheep. And so he says, and they will hear my voice. See, he's able to lead them by his voice, not just driving them forcefully. He's encouraging them to come, leading them. And that's the same way that we are led when we hear the voice. That's when we come into the family of God. If you've ever seen somebody trying to drive somebody else into the family of God, it doesn't work. What do they usually do? Run the other way, right? If you've ever seen somebody try to force somebody to come into the family of God, they go the other way. They scatter.
Right.
Just like sheep. There's no way that they're going to come into the family of God like that. Mm-hmm. But if you're loving and you're gentle, they will hear the voice. They will hear my voice, as Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And then they will come in. They will come into the flock. They will be a part of the family. So this is why the shepherds were appearing first. This is why the angel went to them and gave them this great message, because this time of year is about a family reunion. God wants to have a family reunion with us.
Amen.
It was always planned. If we go to 2 Corinthians, and this is the 5th chapter and 19th verse, and it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not in putting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation. So he's reconciling the world to himself through Jesus. In other words, he's saying the same thing, that Jesus was the shepherd to bring his whole family, his whole flock, back together, to herd them, to lead them, to bring them back into that great group that we could have reconciliation. Reunification would be another way to say that. Or reunion. Family reunion, to bring us back all into God's family. Say amen to this.
Amen.
This is the time when we're coming together in that family. This is the time when we begin to celebrate that. This was God's plan from the very beginning. Let's see what else he said in 2 Corinthians. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. They're now talking about those that are already a part of God's family. Who's already a part of God's family? All right, you guys that are already a part of God's family are now ambassadors of Christ. Now listen, here's what you have to do. Ambassadors of Christ, as though God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. So here, if you're already a member of God's family, you're an ambassador, and now God is like pleading through you, is what this verse is saying. In other words, you are going out there to share this message with other people. This is your responsibility. Once you become a member of God's family, now he wants you to go out and bring other people into that family as well. Why? Because if we go back and listen to the message of what the angel says, he says here, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.
Amen.
This is back in Luke. To all people. How many was that?
All.
He's not leaving any out. He is including all people in this message. So that means once we become a member of God's family, God wants to work through us in order to bring everybody else into the family. We're not leaving anybody out. And if we go back to John chapter 10, which I just read about Jesus saying that he was the good shepherd, he talks about, and there are other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I will bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about that there were the people of Israel, but there are also people outside of that flock that he needs to bring. In other words, all of the other people. So everybody outside, everybody inside, all the people. He wants to bring back into the family of God. Reconciliation. Reunification. Say amen to this.
Amen.
This is something to get excited about, because God always had the plan for us to be a part of his family. And that's what we get to experience every time we hear this story and we hear about the shepherds. We know shepherds are about gathering. Jesus is about gathering the people together. Bringing them together in a great family reunion. I don't know if you've ever had a family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
there always has to be one person planning it, or maybe it's a school reunion you had. Somebody's got to take the responsibility and say, okay, I'm gonna go to work and plan this. You know, I don't know if you've been to any family reunion or school reunions or family reunions, but there's usually one person that has taken the initiative and said, I want to do this, you know, and they organize everything and they contact everybody and they tell them when it is and they, you know, plan a big banquet hall and create a big dinner or whatever the event is that they decide to create, and they bring you together. That's Jesus. Jesus came in order to bring us back together, to reunite us with God. And once we're reunited, as we read here in 2 Corinthians, now it's for us. We're ambassadors of Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In other words, we have a message to go out and tell other people, hey, God wants to have a reunion with you. God wants to get back together with you. He wants to reconcile. He's not going to keep, as it says here, he's not going to hold any of your mistakes against you, not in putting their trespasses to them, no. Not blaming you for things, not holding you accountable for things. But he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? That is the scripture. That is everything that Jesus talked about in the kingdom of God. As Jesus taught the kingdom of God, it is the word of reconciliation. Because he told us what we need to do to get back together with God. To have that family reunion with God. Here's the things we have to do. And here are the things he was saying that if you do this, you won't be reunited with God. And so he kind of let us know what's working, because it's the word of reconciliation, what is going to bring us back together with God. And so all the things that Jesus was talking about in his ministry while he walked upon the earth was teaching us how to have a family reunion. A party, guys!
Amen! Praise Amen. God!
Yes, a party. That God wants to have a party with us. Who doesn't like parties? And that's what God wanted for us from the very beginning. It says here in Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So through believing faith, if you have faith, you're believing Jesus. You're believing what he said. You're believing what he did. You're believing that word of reconciliation that he gave you, meaning you're believing that God wants to have a reunion with you, wants to get back together with you, wants to be one with you. You're believing that. And that's how you become a son or a daughter. That's how you become a family member of God. You become a part of his family by believing what Jesus did and said, by having faith in him. And once we got that, now that reconciliation process is happening again. In other words, the party is well underway. Mm-hmm. Right? When you had one of those reunions that you went to, already everything was already set up and planned when you were coming now, right? Already the food was planned. The band was already there. The hall was already rented. And there were people waiting to greet you. And maybe even got little name tags. It was it's one of those school reunions. Maybe had like a little name tag with your original picture on it. Hopefully not. Because I always had a bad haircut in those pictures. You know? And so, you know, but if you were to one of those reunions or a family reunion, you know, everything was already planned when you started to come. God has already planned the party.
Amen.
He wants us to get out and give the message, hey, God wants to reconcile with you. If you're already a member of God's family, if you already heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, and remember, you can't drive them or force them or make them come to the party. You have to lead them, herd them, guide them, gently nudge them, share with them the good news. And then when they hear that voice, as Jesus said, when they hear my voice, they will know me, and they will come.
Right.
And that's what our job is to do, is to share the voice. And so at this time of year, we got to remember, Jesus came to be the Good Shepherd. He came to put into action, to put into motion, this whole thing of reconciliation with God, reuniting us with God so that we can have this family reunion. It says here in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba in Hebrew means daddy. Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Starting to talk about the benefits. Mm-hmm. Some of you might be sitting there going, well, why do I want to have a reunion with God? Why do I want to be a member of God's family?
Because God is going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. God's going to do good things for you, okay? That's some of the benefits.
No, but if we look here in Galatians 4:6, we start hearing about the benefits. We become heirs of God. So he becomes our daddy. You know, our daddy wants to do good things for us. And he doesn't leave us with nothing. He provides everything for us. And we start to hear we're no longer slaves. See, before when we were not reunited with God, we were now in darkness. We were struggling. We were on our own. You know what it's like if you've ever lived by yourself or moved away from your family? Maybe when you were just starting out, you kind of moved away from the family and you get out there in your own place and at first you thought it was really going to be great and then you realize, oh wow, I got to really struggle to pay the rent and the bills and I don't have mommy and daddy to help me with those anymore and now I got insurance costs. I didn't know about that even. And suddenly I learn about it. You know, when you're first out there, you start learning all these things and you realize, man, this is hard at first. When you first get out there, you think, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I might have to move back in with mommy and daddy. You know, because it's... But the great thing is, see, God is saying, even though now you're an adult, he's saying, come into my family. Let me take care of you. Let me help you. I want to help you to pay the bills, help you to live a life. And so he is saying, we're no longer slaves. We're slaves when we're struggling on our own, when we're in darkness. It's difficult. But he is now saying we are heirs of God. If you're an heir, what does that mean? Okay. It means there's an inheritance. That's right. There's an inheritance for you. Now, check this out. So if God is giving you an inheritance, that's going to be something. Mm. Let's see that. So that's the benefit of why you want to come into the family reunion. You've got somebody to help you. You've got somebody to take care of you. But now you have an inheritance, meaning he's providing for you in a great way. If we go into Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Every. You might want to underline that or highlight that if you're looking at this. Every spiritual blessing. That means there's nothing left out. That means financially, God wants to bless you. In your relationship, God wants you to have a loving relationship. He wants to bless you. In your health, God wants to bless you to bring health. Amen. He wants to bring health into your life. So he is blessing you with everything. How much is it?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Say amen to that.
Amen. Amen.
Who wants every blessing?
I receive it.
Thank you. Who wants every blessing?
Me.
Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, listen to that, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Excuse me.
Amen.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption. Mm. See, we're becoming a part of the family. Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is God. This is the plan for God. He wants us to have every spiritual blessing. And it's through Jesus that we're able to come back in and be adopted as a part of the family. There is no reason why we can't be adopted. Once we believe and receive, now we get to have that inheritance. We get to have those blessings. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Amen.
I hope you're getting excited about this because this is about a family reunion. This is about a family reunion. And the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus, is the one who is bringing us together in that family. And I mean, this is just powerful, powerful stuff. I love this. The word of reconciliation. Those are the words that Jesus was speaking. What words should you be speaking? You should be speaking the word of reconciliation too. Meaning you should be sharing with people that God wants to have a reunion with them. When you go out this way, try this language. Speak in a different way. Because if you ever talk to somebody about God, sometimes we get caught up in speaking to them in a particular way. And as a result of that, sometimes a person's mind is already closed to it and they can't hear you. Try speaking to them in different words this time. Try saying to them, you know, as you go to the different parties and events that are happening at this holiday time, try talking to them about how God wants to have a family reunion. Talk to them about how God wants to have reconciliation. And it might trigger something in their brain for them to start thinking a little different about God. And notice that, again, what are some of the benefits? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That they become an heir of God, meaning there's an inheritance for them. That he provides for them spiritually, health-wise, relationship, career-wise, everything, financially, everything is being provided for. This is how he's watching over them. So every spiritual blessing. So as you, because remember as I read in this other verse here, we're ambassadors of Christ now.
Yes.
You're ambassadors. You have as an ambassador, you have a responsibility to go out and represent. In this case, you're representing your father. Mm. Don't make me do the Godfather again. But you're representing that father. You're representing that family now. And the message you're still saying is to reconcile with God. That is still the message you're giving, the word of reconciliation. And you're imploring them to come to God, imploring them in a loving way. Because remember, you can't drive them, you can't force them, but you can shepherd them. And they'll hear the voice of the Lord. And when they hear it, then they'll come running. They'll want to be a part of the flock. They'll want to be a part of the family. And that's the gift that we get to give at this time of year. If you give that gift, the gift of reconciliation with God, a person will come out of being a slave or having a struggling life, is another way to say that, and come into a blessed life. Come into a life where they're blessed in all ways. Come into a wonderful life, a peaceful life. Remember what the angel said, and peace, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So the angel was giving this message from the very beginning, that this is what was going to be brought in. If we're all family, it's a wonderful thing. A family under God, you got all those blessings. Say amen.
Amen.
I want you to know that you're blessed in all ways.
Praise God.
That you have the power. You are ambassadors. Say, I am an ambassador.
I am an ambassador.
And I bring the word of reconciliation.
And I bring the word of reconciliation.
I bring unification.
I bring unification.
I bring union.
I bring union.
Family reunion.
Family reunion.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.